Once upon a time, there was a messenger riding. And he had a message for the king. Riding through forests, riding through savannas, across the plains, through the mountains. Riding with this message for the king. And his journey went on for weeks and for months. And through every possible landscape he rode. Through freezing blizzards, through baking deserts. He rode and he rode past coastlines where the waves crashed, alongside rivers that surged and thundered on their way to the sea. He rode and he rode past forests where birds were teeming, past lakes where fish were swimming, past all manner of creatures. And all the while that he was riding, why, that message, it was burning in his pocket, like it was alive, like it was a living thing that wanted to speak to the king. That message on a rolled up piece of paper in his pocket, burning there, like it just had to be got through to the king. It had to be read by the king. Well, he rides and he rides and he rides until his horse is so exhausted and he's so exhausted that it's no wonder that by the time he finally gets to the king's palace, why, he's almost dead with tiredness. And his horse is almost dead with tiredness. And he gets to the gates of the palace where there's a guard standing there as if to say, why, who goes there and whoever wants to come in has to speak to me first. And he almost crawls to the guard, he does. Almost crawls to him, and he hands him this rolled up piece of paper with a trembling hand and a body that's exhausted, that's used up all its strength just making the journey. And he says, this has got to get through to the king. The king has to get this. And the guard, he looks at that piece of paper, and he unrolls that piece of paper, and he looks at it. And his eyes, they grow as big as saucers. He's staring at every corner of that piece of paper, and the longer he stares, the more surprised he becomes. Because there's nothing on it. It's blank, completely blank. What is this? Says the guard. What is this nonsense? Message for the king. There's nothing here. No, said the messenger. No, that's not true. There is a message, but it can only be read by kingly eyes. Kingly eyes? Says the guard. Yes, says the messenger. Only the king can read it. Or, that is, only a real king can read it.
I see, says the guard.
Please, says the man. He's on his hands and knees, begging. Please, will you promise you'll give it to the king?
Well, I'll see what I can do, says the guard. And he stomps off into the palace, quite considerably disturbed. Because, you see, if he can't read it, then by what kind of magic or sorcery would the king be able to read it? And what if the king can't read it? It wouldn't be fair to test his majesty.
And he's wandering along with his brows screwed up, and that piece of paper screwed up in his hand as well. And he's wandering through the palace and thinking, what shall I do? What am I to do? Should I show it to the king, or should I not? Should I show it to the king, or should I not? And he passes by one of his friends, the cook. And the cook said, hey, what's the problem? You look very troubled. The guard said, yes, of course I'm troubled. You'd be troubled if you had the news that I had today. Well, what was it? Said the cook. Here, read this, says the guard. And he unrolls the piece of paper and he pushes it under the nose of the cook. The cook just stares at the piece of paper. He's got exactly the same expression on his face that the guard had a few moments ago.
There's nothing on it, says the cook.
Exactly, says the guard. And he tells the cook the whole story. And the two of them look at each other.
Well, says the cook, I believe it would be disrespectful to show such a message to the king. It would be testing him. What if he can't read it?
Exactly my thoughts, said the guard. And off he storms now, even more perturbed than ever.
Well, the next person he runs into is the captain of the guard. The captain of the guard, that's his boss, right? The captain says, what's up? Says the guard. Oh no, he's really in it now. It's this, he says, and he shows the piece of paper to the captain without even saying what it is.
What? Says the captain. It's a blank piece of paper. Explain yourself.
Yes, well, that's the problem, you see, says the guard. And he explains the whole thing about the messenger turning up with the blank piece of paper and on until the captain's heard the whole thing. And he says,
well, it's obvious. You can't possibly show this to the king. What if he can't read it? That would be humiliation. Oh, we can't subject his majesty to that. And so, the guard takes the piece of paper and he pushes it into his pocket. And he expects that that's where it'll stay.
But that piece of paper, it's as if it's got some kind of magical energy all of its own. Whereas before it was pulsing and humming in the pocket of the messenger, why now it's pulsing and humming in the pocket of the guard. It's like he's got something in there that's got a hold of him. And he can't rest. And he can't think of anything else. And from one moment to the next, he's hopping from one spot to the next, wondering what to do with himself, and wondering whether, in fact, he ought to show it to the king. Well, he keeps this up for a couple of days. That's about the most he could manage. With that kind of discomfort, and with that kind of message burning a hole in his pocket. And so, one day he resolves he's going to go and he's going to show the king. And so he makes his way to the royal quarters. And as he's walking up the stairs, the prince, the king's son, comes down the stairs and says, hello, what brings you here? Is there something the matter? Well, says the guard, it's... And then on impulse, he pulls the piece of paper out of his pocket and he shows it to the prince. And the prince takes the piece of paper. And he reads it. For a long time. He says, who gave you this? It's marvellous.
You can read it? Said the guard.
Why, yes, I can, said the prince. It's very lovely.
Shall I read it to you?
Yes, said the guard. Go ahead.
It says, said the prince,
we... The birds, we the animals, we the fishes in the sea, we the elements of air, fire, water, and earth, we love you. We love you.
That's what it says, said the guard.
Yes, said the prince.
Can't you read it yourself?
Well, not very well, said the guard.
Well, we must show the king. It was obviously meant for him. Come on.
And the guard's got his tail between his legs as they walk up the stairs towards the king's room. And when his son bursts in through the door, holding the piece of paper, the king turns around from his work that he was doing, sitting at his desk, and he says, what is it, my son? I'm busy here. The boy goes, father, read this. And he pushes the piece of paper under the king's nose, and the king looks at it for a long time. And the guard holds his breath, and the prince stares at his father, and then the piece of paper, and back to his father. He says, well...
King gazes up at his boy. He says, my son, there's nothing on this piece of paper. It's blank.
You can't read it, said the boy.
No. Is this some kind of a joke?
No, father. It's a message. It's a message. Shall I read it for you?
All right, says the king.
And the boy, he then reads it. Everything that was written there, from the birds and the animals and the fishes, from all the elements, how they love all the people
And by the time the boy's finished reading, the king has tears running down his face. He says, "Why? Why can't I read that? Why can't I read that?" And he says to the guard, "Why can't I read that?" And the guard ums and ahs and doesn't want to say anything, and the king can spot a person trying to keep a secret a mile away, and he says, "Tell me everything." And when he's heard the whole story of the messenger and what the messenger said about the message only being possible to be read by kingly eyes, why, his eyes are weeping even more than before. And the boy, he stares at the guard, and he stares at his father crying like that, and he has a plan. And he grabs his father by the hand, and he takes him out of the palace, away from all his work and all his busyness, and he takes him walking in the mountains, and then through the deserts, and then by the sea. For weeks they walk, the boy and his father, the prince and the king, through the length and the breadth of his kingdom, until by the end of it, they come back to the palace, and they're both tired, but they're both very happy. Because they're full of where they've been, all the mountains, all the sea, all the winds. They're full of where they've been, all the mountains, all the animals, all the birds that they've seen. When they come back to the message, the king unrolls it, and he looks at it, and he can read every word. And from that moment forth, why, he rules his kingdom in quite a different way. He rules his kingdom in quite a different way. He makes sure that he never forgets about the winds and the animals and the oceans and the birds, the fishes and the plants and everything that is his kingdom. And when the boy becomes the king in his place, why, it's the same. And that kingdom was a place where all the birds and all the animals and all the people lived happily, happily, happily together.